Walking in the snow silently, trudging through step after step, thoughts of the events of the last night flash through his mind. As he puts one foot in front of the other, looks at the snow and looks around, he recalls Vasilisa turning over each of her cards, revealing each one and telling the meaning. Takes him back in his mind to a time when he was walking a long distance, just like this. A group of Varisian travelers had found him as a young boy, taken him in, cared for him. During years with them, one time at a camp, a Varisian seer, an old wise woman, told Valdin, "You will soar like an eagle, fall like a stone, be calm like a lake, and rage like a storm." To young boy, this seemed nonsense. To him, a bunch of silly old women sitting around the fire telling tales and scaring young children was what he thought this was. They claimed they could know what was to come. They could see the future. But now, his mind returning to the present, one foot in front of the other walking through the snow, he glanced over his shoulder to a summer witch, whose cards have an eerie prescience. He ponders what the cards could mean. What does a rabbit prince mean? And having just buried a friend, what will happen as they step through the portal?
I mean, this is big.
Yeah. I love the little insight into Valdin's past. That's good.
Oh. So we are rolling. Everyone's in cans?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get going, now that we are rolling, I have something for some of you.
What?
I said, before we get going.
I heard what you said.
Now that we're rolling, I have something for some of you.
It was a surprised what?
This is... For Marge and for Valdin and for Vasilisa for helping to keep Norm alive for as long as he did. Because he should have died a lot earlier.
I was like, harsh. I know that he died on our watch, but the sarcasm.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Do I feel guilty or appreciative? I don't know.
Let's see. He's walking over to the door. He's opening a closet and he is pulling out. Yep. He's pulling out a dead rat. Okay.
What is this?
This is such a surprise. What is this?
What did you
there
do?
Are frames.
You kept a surprise from me.
Yes. He has three framed objects. So for each of you. Oh my goodness. This is beautiful.
Oh my.
This is amazing.
Oh, I want to cry.
I don't get one. That's fine.
Oh my god.
Holy fuck.
The quality of this picture. It's Norm's gravesite.
I want to cry. I'm like teary-eyed.
I can't wait to put this up. This is really great.
Who did this?
His name is Thiago. He lives in Brazil.
The comic book artist, right?
Yeah.
Dude. We've been immortalized in a comic book.
Aww.
This is beautiful.
This is incredible. Norm. I can't wait for... Okay, you guys have to look at our social media because I'm going to be sharing a picture of this. And you have to see it.
But he really captured, like, just the relationship between the four of you, like Ghost and Valdin, like, everything lines up perfectly.
Awesome. That's so good.
Oh, man.
It's really beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Zach.
Yes, thank you.
Shit.
Oh. This is amazing. I'm
all crying again.
That's the point of this podcast, right? Is just to make people cry.
We said we're going to have emotions first episode.
Yep. Yes, we did. I remember being in high school and somebody told me that, like, whatever you do with your art, like, whatever emotion you're trying to invoke, it should make somebody cry. And I'm like, yeah, that's... I can get behind that.
Okay.
Last time you guys made the barrel in preparations for our dear... good boy, Norm Gunderson.
Our dear good boy.
He was a dear good boy. And then you guys set out back to the winter portal. It took you guys 5 hours going through the snow. The cold was bearable. Especially now, considering how relatively more cold it is. You guys have gone through the portal. You're standing on this other side, and the temperatures are well below zero. Not just, oh, yeah, it's like 20 degrees out. We're talking about like negative 30. It's cold as shit. And
negative 30, but well, and that's like deadly, isn't it?
Yes, say in Irisin, it is colder than the tits of Baba Yaga.
And it is indeed colder than the tits of Baba Yaga. Now, two of you have magical clothing that is going to protect you from this. You can still feel the drop in temperature. Vasilisa, this is a feeling that you never, ever, 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 ever wanted to feel again.
Oh no.
But regardless,
here is it. Why?
You guys are here. And looking into the distance, you see the faintly glowing lights of a town. Now, it was about 6 p.m. when you guys had left the borderwood of Heldren and you traveled over 2,000 miles north into the land of the White Witches.
Wow.
But in that time traveling north, you guys also traveled to the west a little bit. So you've made up some time. You look and the sun hasn't even begun to set yet. You guys could figure it's probably about 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Wow.
I need a perception check from everybody, please. Zach, let's start with you.
Well, I got a,
Zach is here?
I got a 16. What am I doing? It's so cold. I should be back in Gilbert.
We both
I know we both got 16.
16.
Eight. Eight for Vasilisa.
Valdine?
17.
Marge.
Marge got a 22 and Ghost got a 16.
Okay. Marge, you're looking around. You see the lights in the distance and the smoke, and you kind of turn and you look the other way, and you see a big sort of cloud storm system off in the distance. And then everybody, you all see in front of you, not 10 feet away, is a large mound. And you see a large arm kind of sticking out of it and off to the side.
It's the troll. Yeah.
The body of the troll. And you see laying next to the troll is a spear.
Hey guys, there's a big storm cloud coming up. Do you see that?
Oh, that looks like some nasty weather.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to need some shelter.
Everything in Irisin is nasty weather. And Vasilisa's going to cast message on us just because she doesn't trust being able to talk at level value, like regular volume, and she'll say, let's whisper to each other just because everything can't... there could be a witch in the snow right now.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So we're going stealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're talking still, like, we're clearly not from here, and I just, you know.
That is true. I do not have a voice from someone who might be in this place.
Do any of you know Halit or maybe Skald as a language?
Perhaps?
No, unfortunately.
Okay, so people know common here. They know Théoden is a common, they might anyway. But the common language here is Halit or Skald. So.
Oh, maybe you can teach us some as we're going. We've got a lot of travel, I think.
Yes, I can definitely try. And for now.
So, what should we do about the cloud? And
I suppose it's late enough. Maybe we try to go to town for the night?
Do you know this town?
Is that a mound up ahead?
Vasilisa's just squinting because she had the worst perception.
I'm pretty sure that's the
troll, probably.
The big guy that came out after us.
Yeah.
Oh, we saw his head on the other side of the portal.
So definitely a dead troll, I would think.
Would the spear be useful to anyone? There's one laying right there,
it
too.
It depends.
I'm going to perception check it. I have 16 perception.
It's a large spear, but you guys are, you're looking at it, Marge, and you see that the handle of it ends in a human skull before the blade protrudes out of the top of it.
So very nice in craftsmanship, but not in theme. No. Yeah.
Matches your cards.
I would like...
Called out.
I don't have anything I can do with this thing, Valdine. It's got a human skull, you said?
I'm going to detect magic on it.
Smart.
This looks like one of you guys' skulls. I guess.
Thanks,
I'm a doctor. I've seen lots of stuff.
One of you guys.
Maybe.
Looks like Valdine or Vasilisa.
It doesn't look like a rat folk skull. So that's fair.
Exactly right. That's what I was getting at.
Is it magical?
Yes, you detect magic on it.
I would like to spellcraft it.
Please do.
I'd like to look behind us and see what the portal looks like from this side.
Ooh, nice.
Because we haven't done that.
No, you haven't.
I'd like to.
You turn around and you look, and the portal looks pretty much the same. It's another white pillar, and you can see you guys are standing once again in kind a little bit of a clearing as the snow is falling around you.
So the portal is kind of, it's not in a building or in a city or anything. It's outside of a little
village. It is outside, yeah. Okay. That you can see.
That I can see.
It's just, it's the almost the exact same thing that you guys entered on the other side, just opposite and on the other side. What did you get on your spellcraft, please?
16.
A 16.
You're going to have to roll higher than that.
Yeah, you are.
No.
Could I appraise it?
Yeah, you can appraise it. All you can tell, Vasilisa, it has faint enchantment magic on it.
Yes, this is an enchanted spear. We probably should not just leave it in the snow for anybody.
All right.
It's
well,
so
I can,
big, though.
I can carry it. I could probably find a way to...
Yes, Valdine is a strong man.
It is. It is a large.
Medium.
I pat Valdine's shoulder very confidently.
Valdine, what did you get for your appraisal?
16. Probably too low, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of 16s, yeah.
What's it weigh?
It weighs 8 pounds.
8 pounds?
Yeah.
I'll just pick it up and put it away.
As you pick it up, it resizes.
Nice. Oh.
And it turns into a medium-sized spear.
This is a pretty interesting item. It's
What origin?
Can I hand it to Marge? See if it gets littler.
Okay, I hand it to Marge.
It shrinks down even further.
Can you use that? I mean, I know we don't know quite what it does, but...
I can,
You can ride ghost in the...
Still pretty dexterous, sure.
Why don't you hang on to it, then?
Oh, strong. And one day we'll find out what it does, unless all it does is change size. I do not know. It's enchanted is all I know.
Well, this is very... I've never seen anything like this before.
That is so amazing. It's even cooler than the cloak that changed the sizes because weapons don't do that normally.
It's true.
And then I cringe because I said normally and I don't know what to do with that. I talked about his cloak and I said normally. It's two taboos right now and I just... immediately
Everybody's
shut
just
up
quiet.
Like I shouldn't have said anything.
Well, let's try to move on and get out of this cold. Maybe we won't keep saying words that make us sad.
Okay. Marge will put the spear on, just like strap it to the side of Ghost.
Okay, perfect.
With the, it like threw a mule back cord or something.
Nice.
Okay.
Well,
I like
James,
it.
I'm having second thoughts about my new character. I think maybe being being the decapitated troll wasn't a good... Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be over so fast. Yeah.
I mean, they brushed past it really
I thought
quick.
They were going to hang out more, and I was actually going to need to do something.
Yeah. I mean, they're not hanging out for the gestation period needed for your veg pygmy that's in there.
But that was going to be fun. They don't even have a language. They just have a weird, like, language.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so spears.
Here we go.
You have a cavalier
I
spear.
I have a spear now attached to Ghost. that will be my size, which is freaking awesome.
All right.
I did not expect that at all.
Right. Well, if you ever need to charge anything, now you got a way to charge an attack.
Well, you know, I was, you know, I have my sword too, but yeah, this could come in handy for sure.
Yes, your sword looks more like slashy and the other looks more like piercy, stabby, so you could impale someone. And
well, I suppose we shouldn't, you know, talk about that quite yet. We're just going to go to the village.
I was thinking about like a troll, you know, he's self-defense.
This area is very dangerous, as she's indicated, so we should be on alert.
Also, I am very cold, so maybe we go... I would like to actually do a knowledge local. I know we should be in the Horwood Forest, and the Pale Tower should be nearby.
Yep.
Do I have any idea what this town would be?
Give me knowledge local.
And what direction is the tower?
Local or geography for you?
Okay, I don't have a geography. So
is the tower tall enough that we would see it from this area? Like, I'm assuming it's a pretty significant landmark.
It is a significant landmark, but you guys can't see it from where you are right now.
Okay.
17.
The town of Waldsby.
Waldsby.
That is the town that you know is closest to the Pale Tower. And you know that it is located near the Horwood Forest. So this town off in the distance could be the town of Waldsby.
Well, if the Black Rider did not lie to us, and I whisper that part because I don't want everyone to hear me say the Black Rider talked to us, then that should be Waldsby ahead. They're the town closest to the Pale Tower. And this area should be the Horwood. So... let's go to Waldsby and see if maybe we can find some place warm. See what is going on before we go to the tower.
Is this a town that would have an inn or a lodge of some kind?
Maybe.
Would it be better to keep ourselves more hidden, though? You know, and maybe sleep outside the town with... I'm not sure who to trust. I suppose that's more in your wheelhouse there.
This is very true. It might be a little bit of a test, I suppose, in that if we go to Waldsby and I can pass myself off as, you know, a witch of more of the Irisin variety and be like, hello, I am a winter witch. I am just here passing through with my entourage, then maybe we just have some place safe to sleep. But again, I don't know. It's true, we might not trust anybody. It might just warn the witches of the tower we're coming.
Well, I feel like you would know best, though.
Oh,
this is your country.
Just here.
Suddenly,
oh shit! Uh-oh.
You guys hear screaming,
screaming
in the distance, and it's echoing around you.
There is the scream coming.
It's coming from downhill to the north.
Which way is that?
Yes,
towards
Waldsby.
Oh okay. No, Waldsby is screaming.
What? No, Waldsby is too far away to hear screaming.
Really.
But we hear something screaming on the way.
Okay, close. Down the hill.
Screaming.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Let's move.
Oh, we should go check that out. Yes.
No, do we go to
and Marge will jump onto Ghost.
Okay.
Stay together.
Okay.
I can.
I need you to give me a cold check.
Okay.
And you will be doing these every 10 minutes.
That's what negative temperatures will do to you.
Oh, no. All right, survival.
So I think now's about time.
It is a good thing that only one of us...
I failed the survival, so let's try the actual cold part.
Let's hope you're, you know, good, bad.
Nice.
29.
Okay. I have reset it because you guys took some time in the cave to get your rations
Thank
and everything
you.
Back together.
It's nice of you.
Nice. That was nice of you.
You guys went and you got out of the cold.
Yeah,
you
did? True.
It would have been slow, too, because, you know, we're all very introspective and thinking about everything that's just happened. So I imagine we spent a little time in the warmth.
You dawdled.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
What's the situation as far as the layout of where we are? Is there like a tree line and a path?
There are trees kind of like in your guys' way moving downhill, but it's not any way that's going to like obstruct your movement.
I'm asking for more visual. Is there a clear path? Is there an area we can hide behind trees and kind of sneak along a tree line? What is our...
Are we in a forest?
Yeah, what's just, our...
Or are we in an open sporadic. Field with some...
It's sporadic.
It's a forest. Okay. Yeah.
So like the outskirts of the forest probably... Or would you say?
You guys are in the forest still.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. We're in a forest.
Okay.
There isn't like a dedicated tree line.
Right.
There's trees all along, but they're not like lined up perfectly.
There's not an open path. Not a clearing.
Nobody cleared out a road in this place.
Correct.
That's what I wanted to confirm
is
that we're not.
It's a sparse forest.
It's a sparse forest, yes.
Okay. Stick to the trees. Let's stay together.
Let's get there, though. It sounds like someone's in trouble.
Well, we're going to go, but
Does it sound like a human scream to
you? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to do a perception and see if maybe I can find something else. No, I don't see anything or hear anything else that might be helpful.
All right, let's go. We move forward.
Okay. and Vasilisa just kind of like clutches Marigold's reins really hard because she's super nervous about this.
Oh, by the way, this actually comes into play now. Marge has a negative trait.
Okay, let's talk about this negative trait.
Oh, we haven't, yeah.
Well, there were certain things that made Marge as far as traits go. So Marge took a couple of negative traits, and one of her negative traits is called lovesick. If ever Marge wakes up in the morning without Norm, she gets -2 to her initiative and -2 to her perception.
Oh,
however, because Norm is dead, her negative trait is not lovesick anymore. It's called doubt. Whenever she fails a skill check or ability check, I take a -4 on that same check throughout the next hour.
Oh.
Ouch.
Wow. So the other one is gone. It's now doubt instead.
Yeah. Yes, okay. The other one, I don't have lovesick anymore. I now have doubt.
And lovesick never came up because we always woke up together.
We always woke up together.
Wow.
And so we never were separated where I would have, you know, be lovesick. But he's dead now, and that changes to doubt. So now that I rolled like a 3 on my,
was it perception?
Perception?
Well, you can't fail perception.
Yeah, you can't fail perception. You can't fail knowledge.
Oh. Well, then this will come into effect whenever I fail a skill or ability check. But just so you guys know.
It'll happen. Don't worry.
Yeah. It will happen. It'll come up. Marge is
doubtful.
That's
not good. That's not good, Margie.
So we're heading forward towards the screaming.
Yes.
Is there a check I can do just because I am paranoid? Is there a creature native to the Horwood that mimics the sound of a human scream?
That's smart.
Like a lyrebird.
Yeah, or like if you hear a really weird screaming sound in the Arizona desert, it might just be a fucking coyote.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I've heard those.
Is there something to be alert for that this might be some creature or animal that is not a person in
distress? Please
you
do this.
It's a trap!
Give me knowledge nature and then give me knowledge planes.
All right. My knowledge nature is 20 and my knowledge planes is 27.
Whoa, nice.
Nature wise, you're not sure. Fae wise, like planes, 27, yeah. That Fae screaming for help is something that you would definitely.
All right. So.
But you know that's not common outside of the Chill Wilds.
The Chill Wilds. Okay.
You know is the area of Irisin that is controlled by Fae.
So what I'm going to say is, okay, March Fielding, I know you want to charge ahead and help whoever is in distress.
Oh yeah, they're screaming.
But although it is not likely in the Horwood, I want to let you know there are some Winter Fae creatures that might mimic the sounds of distress to lure people in. And since Fae people have been very recently most terrible for us, just let's be careful as we go up, okay?
That's why I suggested a stealthiness.
Okay.
Yes. Let's stick to the trees. Let's move up together as a group.
Quietly.
Watch your back. Follow me.
Okay. I've got your back, Valdine.
All right.
And I let some distance pass so that I'm a little ways behind because I have Marigold and she's probably less stealthy.
Okay.
But I keep up with the group.
I would like to move somewhat quickly with you behind me.
Oh, I can move as fast as you can if I'm on.
But I want to move stealthily. So he's making notes on things over there.
Go ahead and roll stealth.
Right. Okay, now I'll roll stealth.
If I'm on Ghost and Ghost is the one rocking, do I only roll stealth for Ghost?
No, I need both.
I got a 10.
Because you do both and then you take the lesser.
15 10? For Ghost and 16 for Marge.
Okay.
21 for Valdi.
Okay. So you guys start moving down this hillside, some of you quieter than others. And eventually you break through a set of trees that allows you guys to finish looking down the hill, and you see along a well-trodden road a group of travelers with five dog sleds. With
just imagine like barbecue sauce.
Coming into view, you see a group of travelers. You see their five dog sleds, along with look to be five people. Four of them are medium humanoids, and one of them is a small humanoid. They are all bundled up and are yelling ferociously as this giant insect creature bears over them. And you see that one of the five people, one of the mediums, is in this creature's maw.
Ooh.
And you see it stabbing down at them with its long pincer arms.
Oh, we have to help them, Valdine. We have to go.
Quickly engage.
Roll for initiative.
Y'all are like, let's charge forward. And I'm like, knowledge check. What is that? Anyway, initiative is a 12, so
that wasn't bad.
Knowledge checks in combat are like, in pre-combat, are really important, and no one ever does.
Yeah.
I like to do them.
Mm-hmm. Marge is a 15 and Ghost is a 14.
I shoot first and I know later. It's just the way it is.
It was your mother. That's fair.
Can you explain more? The insect is over the people, so it's flying up in the air.
It is a large sized creature. It is not flying. It is standing kind of next to them, but it towers over
them.
But
it's a large
creature. It's a large insect.
Yes. On the ground.
Would they see that it has wings or not?
It does not have wings.
How far away is it from us?
I was just going to ask that
question. Yeah, let me set the map up and everything first.
All right. Also, does it look like a praying mantis?
It does. It is a large mantis.
I don't know what it is, but that's just what I pictured.
Yeah, it is. For those of you listening, it is a freakishly large praying mantis.
Oh, no.
Valdine, what did you get?
22.
Damn it.
I rolled really well.
That's good, because we need someone to. I didn't.
Norm had a +9 on his initiative.
Shut up.
Norm has a...
If you were still alive, I'd have a +0 to initiative, but because you're dead, I have a +2.
What?
Yeah, that's right. If we buried you alive, then she's lovesick.
I see what she's saying.
Oh, my goodness.
If you buried me alive, you deserve more than a -2.
This just got so dark. I thought it was already dark.
Failed our heal saves super hard or something.
Oh, God.
You failed your humanity check.
Can you imagine?
Okay. Round. Oh, I need to set up minis. Hold on.
And you need to tell us how far away they are.
Yes.
We just don't have that information yet.
Oh, yeah, because we're coming to the road from the forest, right. Not from the road.
Oh, yes.
That'd be a really effective way to deafen a character. You just cut their audio
there
and they can't.
Road. See,
they've been deafened.
Is the road going kind of east-west? Would you say? Because we're coming from the north. Or we're coming from the south, headed north, and the road is going mostly east-west. And on the south side of the road is a... huge, but in Pathfinder terms, large, praying mantis insect thing with a person in its jaws. Well, this is horrifying.
You guys come down this hill, and when you are finally able to look ahead and see, it is about 50 feet away from Valdine, who is in the front. You see that the mantis is lording over these travelers. It has one of them in its mouth, and you can see it from behind. And then you see the other people trying to fight this thing off, and the smaller humanoid in the back has a bow and is trying to shoot arrows at the giant praying mantis. We enter into combat initiative, starting with our very own Valdine.
50 feet away, so I'm going to need to move up as close as I can get, and I want to do that first, and then I want to make a perception check. So
okay. You are wearing snowshoes, and it is still difficult terrain, so it is going to be 1.5 squares for every square.
Yeah, it's 1.5 instead of 2 squares for every square. So
every 2 squares costs 3 squares.
Okay.
So, you so 4 squares.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can move 30 feet normally.
Right.
So normal. 20.
So you can move 4 squares.
Oh, I did it again. I normed.
So you can move a total of 20 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
On one movement.
Yeah.
But I will move 4 squares toward the action.
So you moved 25 feet down the hill, moving closer and closer to this battle. You are 25 feet away.
As I move up, I tell the group, let's go help him out. Clearly this creature's attacking him. I want to also shout to the people as I get closer.
Yes.
Hey.
After this conversation we just had with Vasilisa, tell me what you shout. Tell me what you shout in your native Taldane common.
Hey, I'm a mercenary. I'll help you. And I fire.
Fucking great.
That's just what he says.
It's beautiful.
Valdine says, hey, I'm a mercenary.
Hey, over here, y'all.
Strategery. he attacks the insect-like creature. Does a 23 connect against touch?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 10 damage against the insect creature.
Goddamn. Okay, you shoot. Where do you shoot this creature?
I probably try to aim for the midsection since I realized something's in its mouth, and
okay.
That was knowledge we kind of got as cool. We approached.
Yep.
It turns out the giant insect creature is a friendly druid fighting off a winter witch attack.
Oh no!
We never knew.
Oh no!
Yeah, sure, that could happen.
The things that could.
And
happen.
And Valdine hates magic just a little bit more.
So they actually have great swords, and one of them, one closest to the giant mantis, is going to swing their great sword and miss completely. It just hits the creature, and you hear the loud clang, and it glances off of the hard carapace as they stare in utter horror. Next up is the guy in the creature's mouth, but he's unconscious.
Oh.
So I'm just going to leave him down there. And Marge, it is your turn.
Valdine's gun goes off.
Mm.
And Marge flinches and just buries her face into Ghost's neck. Mm. And that's it.
Oh no.
It is not a negative trait or anything.
It's just a very good fucking choice.
But she has some PTSD to waking up to a gunshot and seeing Norm's dead body in front of her.
Yeah. Mm.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's getting visions in her head.
Go ahead and take a snowflake, Marge.
Aww. Mm.
Vasilisa.
Oh, right. Vasilisa. Ah, oh, shit. Vasilisa is going to take note that Marge is having a moment. She's going to start by doing a knowledge check on the giant insect praying mantis thing.
Okay, please do.
That is actually a 31. Then.
You've seen these before because these are from the Borderwood.
Oh, it's a Borderwood.
It is
creature.
A Borderwood creature. You can tell very obviously by its bright green exterior, and its red beady eyes. It's a creature you've seen many times before. Joseph has had to fight these things off in the past when he goes out in the summer to cut wood. You know that these things are extremely quick, and if they catch you off guard, they have the advantage.
31's a good
check.
Yeah.
You know that they like to snatch their foes and then chomp on them with their mandibles while they grapple them. But the thing you know, and what makes these things so deceptive, is that they have the ability to lunge, which means that they can double their melee range for a single attack each turn. And these are large creatures, and their reach is already normally 10 feet. So
normally,
these things can reach 20 feet away to strike.
Oh, that's badass.
You are 5 feet away from that, Valdine. 5 feet out of his 20-foot
range. It's a good thing I couldn't move closer.
Vasilisa is going to take note of what it is. She's going to move forward, and as she moves forward, she's going to shove Marigold's reins into Marge's hand and say, "Watch, Marigold. Stay back." And then she's going to call forward, and she's going to go as far forward towards Valdine as she can, basically. And then she's going to tell Valdine, and she's got message going, but she's going to say, "That's a giant mantis from the Borderwood. It can reach 20 feet at a time if it lunges at you. Do not move any further." She is not at the ideal range for any of her spells. So,
you know what an ideal range probably is? Hmm? 20 feet.
Shut your
face. Just throwing that out there.
Shut your face.
I mean, Burning Hands is 15.
Technically, the range for a Harrow deck is not that far. It is 20 feet, exactly.
Nice.
So she is just out of range for the... Like, she doesn't want to get in range to be her ideal range, because that's its ideal range.
I mean, you can throw it further away at a -2.
She can, but I think what she's going to do instead is she's going to just give Valdine a very encouraging look and wish him all of the fortune of Summer and Vara. You have officially the Hex of Fortune upon you.
Nice.
During this next round, you can choose to use it, so it doesn't have to be your very next roll. It's within the next round, any roll for a saving throw, attack throw, or skill check. You get to roll twice and take the higher.
Nice.
Are there any, like, physical signs that would kind of let Valdine know he's been put under this hex?
I think because Vasilisa follows the summer patron Vara, that especially here in Irison, it's very noticeable that something is going on. So he hears Vasilisa say, "May the fortune of Summer and Vara be upon you." And then he feels like in the middle of this, probably the coldest cold he's ever felt, he feels as though he's suddenly got the warmth of a midsummer noon just kind of blooming inside him a little bit.
That's awesome.
Nice. That. Yes.
And
yes.
He has that fortune. And that's cool. The one time I can use it on him in the next 24 hours. And I'm going to go ahead and note that I can't use it on Norm today, so I'll erase him from my sheet because he's dead.
Spring cleaning.
Fine. So I do that, and I think that's probably enough for a round, or I would holler at the other people and haul eight, but I've said enough.
Okay. Next up in the initiative is the small-sized archer that's been kind of hanging out towards the back behind everything.
Note to the listeners, that fucking fool is within 20 feet of the mantis.
They don't know.
I mean, I think they just got attacked.
No, this
they're
is
not
fair.
From the Borderwood.
I know. I'm just saying. The listeners need to know, literally, all the people on the road are within that lunge range.
None of the actual group, us, are within that range, though.
True.
And I did
prioritize informing the group to stay the fuck back over communicating in Holly with the people on the road.
That is true.
Yeah.
Priorities. Okay.
They pull their bowstring and they fire at the mantis. And they miss. Mm. But you also hear them shout something. Only Vasilisa, I think, understands it because it is in Halit. Hey. Wait, do you speak Skald too?
Yes.
I think it's in Skald.
Ooh.
You hear them shout in Skald, everyone needs to be careful because this thing has an extremely long reach.
All right.
Can I ask a meta question? What is Skald? Because I know it is a class.
So Skald is the native tongue of the Ulfin.
Okay. So would Beldine know that then?
Actually, I think I do know Skald. I don't have that on my sheet, but I think...
You remember the Ulfin card.
Yeah, I was. For a long time, too. So I think I might actually know.
So there's more than one Ulfin.
Yeah. So the Ulfin Guard are special protectors in Tal'Dor, right?
Right. Yeah.
For the crown. Mm-hmm. The Ulfin people are from the land of the Lenorm Kingdoms, which neighbors Irisin to the west.
Which is even further from Tal'Dor than Irisin is. Because yeah. Tal'Dor is southeast of Irisin.
Yeah. Now, the Ulfin Guard have their roots as being Ulfin people.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they've since...
Okay. They're distant roots.
So, yeah. So it's a type of common then, and it's just like a regional type of common, and it's more like...
It is the most common... They are the two most common languages in Irisin, okay. Skald and Halit. And Halit comes from the Kelish tribes of the Mammoth Lords, which are to the east.
So if someone knows Common, but they want to know Halit as well, they need to take another linguistics, like it's another language.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it is the mantis's turn. And the mantis is going to turn around because Valdine shot it. It's going to move, take a 5-foot step.
Oh, no.
And then it is
does
going...
Does it still have that one guy in his mouth?
Oh, yeah, it does. So it takes a 5-foot step to get to Valdine and be within range of him. And then it is going to do a lunge attack.
Let's see what you got, Spikey.
Okay, Spikey. So it snaps out with you with these little clutched claws that are bent, and it just like lunges forward and it snaps it out, and it goes to slash at you with one of these claws. Natty 19.
Oh, no.
For a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay. It's going to deal minimum damage of 4 as it slashes across your shoulder. It just kind of rakes you as it slides its serrated leg across it.
Oh.
Now, normally, you can feel your flesh kind of getting...
You're doing it on purpose now.
Sorry. Normally.
Regularly... You think this creature might be able to snatch you because you can mm-hmm. feel yourself kind of being pulled as the edges come across you. But the creature didn't dig in deep enough. And
right.
You can tell that it is very happy with this being it has in its mouth. That is the mantis's turn.
Okay.
Next up, we have... One more of the guard-looking people has a spear out, and they're going to throw the spear at the giant mantis. They're going to miss with their spear they threw at the giant mantis.
That's too bad.
It is very much too bad, as it just soars past. And you can see they're all pretty frazzled. But then he's also going to take a 5-foot step backward to kind of back up a little bit further.
Who does the spear hit instead?
It impales the unconscious man in the maw of... No.
Yeah.
that's rough.
Nice.
And then finally, the last of the guards people is going to take a 5-foot step closer to the mantis and also swing at it with his great sword.
Nice.
Does he get it? Yeah, he gets it. Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, so he swings down and hits hard on the mantis with his great sword, dealing 2d6 points of damage.
Nice.
Not shabby, Mr. Guy, for a total of 10 points. That's pretty good.
Nice.
He takes a good chunk out of one of the 4 legs supporting this large creature. Top of round 2, Valdine.
Valdine levels his gun at the creature and fires, right? Center mass.
Center mass.
That is going to be a 24 against touch.
Jeez. Yeah, that hits.
7 damage.
7 more points of damage dealt to this crazy insect creature. This damage dealt to this large insect creature. Good job, Valdine. You gonna do anything else? Say anything else?
I think
stay where you are.
I think he would probably stay right where he is next to Vasilisa so that it has to decide between the two of us.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool. The first swordsman that swung, whose sword deflected off of the mantis, is also going to step forward and take another mighty swing at the creature. And he fumbles hard.
Oh, no, man.
Who hired these guys?
He goes to swing, and this time it glances off, and it just shakes him so much. You know, I might be speaking to the wrong audience here, but you know how in Little League and you were playing baseball, and they would throw the ball, and you would swing at it, but you didn't have enough oomph, and it would hit the bat, and it would just, like, vibrate the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
the ball would just kind of...
It would just, like, not actually hit it. It would just, like, hurt.
Yeah. And you go...
Yeah, that. Like in the cartoon. Like cartoons, yeah. This moment happens, but in real life, and he ends up dropping his greatsword to the ground.
Oh, God, man.
It is the guy in the mandibles' turn.
And he's unconscious still?
He bleeds to death.
Was he unconscious?
He's not looking good. Oh. Yeah, he's unconscious. He's not moving.
Oh, no.
Marge, you're up. You still gripping on Ghost's fur. What do you do?
And another gunshot went off.
And another gunshot went off.
You have Marigold's reins in one hand. She just shoved it in.
I don't think she ever thought about what would happen in combat next because she's so been preoccupied with everything else going on in her mind and her heart. She's not letting go of Marigold's reins. She's definitely got them strong in her hand. After hearing the second gunshot, she will get another flash of Norm's face in her mind. But it will also make her think of she has a blood oath. There's something here she's supposed to do as well. So she will actually take the turn to compose herself, to hold Marigold's reins and straighten herself up on the back of Ghost and pull out her sword. But that's about as far as she can make it.
That's okay, Marge. You're doing your best.
Exactly.
We love you, Marge. Okay. Vasilisa.
Vasilisa is going to start by calling out in Scald. Who are you? Just, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's a giant mantis. Let's kill it and ask questions later. And then... She's going to go ahead and cringe a little. She doesn't know if this is a complete waste of time. But she's going to cast Stabilize on the guy in the mantis's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You cast Stabilize on his mouth.
Just in case that...
Wait.
No. Now, you said there were dog sleds.
Yes,
there are dogs?
There are dogs. Oh, guys, we've established there's dogs in this part of the world.
Dogs, yay.
What are their names?
Their name.
If there are 5 dog sleds, how many dogs per dog sled?
There are 4 dogs per dog sled.
Oh. There are 20 dogs here?
Yeah.
Guys, bark as much as you want. It's realistic.
Yeah, they're barking at a mantis.
Yeah, there's 20 dogs
there
here.
There are 20 dogs on that road.
That's a lot of dogs.
So you cast Stabilize on the man in the mandibles of the giant mantis. The man in the mandibles of the mantis.
Yeah, Vasilisa, it was probably a waste
Stabilize.
Of a turn, but that's what I do.
Okay, you're going to do a move or
like
anything else?
Well, you shouted
a lot.
I did shout a lot, so I'm going to stay where I am, I guess.
The small archer person is going to do small archer person things. 19 to hit is going to hit.
Nice.
As they fire an arrow. Oh, minimum damage. Aww. 2 points.
Aww.
Hey. Two is better than zero.
Yeah.
Every bit helps. And then it is the mantis's turn.
Mm-hmm. Take 5. You want to take 5? No, not take 5 minutes. But
shush.
Like.
Let the GM do his thing. Don't try to get us killed.
You know, okay, what's funny is if I don't actually have a character going, I find myself rooting for the monsters a lot.
Like, get him back in the game. Get him back in the game.
Maybe it's just that. It's just like the GM instinct in me or whatever. But like, yeah, I want monsters to succeed because they fail so often.
Yeah.
They fail in almost all the combat.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
As they should.
They are the underdog in a lot of situations.
Yeah, gotta root for the underdog. So the mantis flips around and slashes out at the closest soldier. And gets them right across the side with its claw. It comes in on the side, and you just see it straight him across, and he looks bad.
Oh,
he
no.
looks really bad. And then the mantis whips out with its second claw at the soldier next to him, the one who had kind of dropped his sword. And he misses on that one, instead hitting the sword and just kind of raking it closer to him. So next up is this guy that dropped his sword. He's going to grab a spear off of his back, a long spear, and he is going to take a poke at the mantis. And he misses. But he poked real hard.
And poke doesn't count if it misses.
No, it doesn't.
What if it was really hard?
And then you have the final man standing back by the archer, pulls out his great sword, and is going to move in closer. And is going to roll to aid his buddy to boost his AC, and he fails. He stumbles forward, but you can still see fear in his eyes as he's going up to try and help his friend. Valdine, top of round three.
Valdine, he sees the situation is not looking too good for the people he doesn't know.
It's looking bad. It's looking real bad.
They're taking some damage over there. He wants this to end quickly, so he would like to shoot again. And he turns to Vasilisa before he shoots and said, "If there's anything you can do, you gotta do it now." And he fires. So it's 23.
Yeah,
that hits.
A 23 will hit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the damage.
I rolled low on damage. It's only 7 damage.
7's enough to kill the fucker.
Yes!
Yeah!
You shoot it, and you just see the bullet go straight through as bits of shell shower the warriors in front of it. As
awesome.
The mantis, you just shoot it straight through the back, and its little chest carapace goes, and you just see it collapse into itself. Like all four of its legs that are supporting it just buckle, and it basically just like sits down and flops. And you see the man in the creature's mandibles fall out and hit the snow as the other people rush to him. Fuck,
oh,
guys. Good job.
Wow.
Yeah, we are out of combat. A small archer in the back, you see them take a heavy sigh, and they put their bow away, and they start making their way over to you all.
All right, I'm going to say, everyone, and I'm going to say this in an undertone in Tal'Dane Common. Everyone, be careful. We may have just helped these fellows, but we know nothing about them. And then loudly in Halit, I'm going to say, all right, now that the mantis is gone, who are you exactly?
Marge will walk up behind you guys with Marigold and
the animals.
Yeah. And your sword.
Yeah.
At the ready.
Small figure comes up to you, and you see kind eyes gazing from between layers of a scarf that is wrapped snugly around their head. And they go, what are you all from? And she comes up and she starts unwrapping her scarf. And you see her undoing all of her like headgear and stuff so she can actually speak without being muffled. She goes, I heard you all call out in the Tal'Dane before. Why are you all here? The White Witch's Wood is not a good place for travelers. And as she does this, she finishes unwrapping her scarf, and she pulls down her hood.
And what do we see?
Because
you've got a big smile on
your face. See a big, warm smile welcoming you all. And you see that the brown fur of this rat folk has started to gray around her nose.
What?
And she has two fuzzy ears, one brown and one a stark white. And she says, thank you for your help. I am Kappa. And Vasilisa, you are still holding your Haro deck.
Uh-huh.
And you feel it vibrate. And you can feel something tugging within it. And three cards pop out.
What?
And they fall to the ground.
What?
Face up.
What?
And you see the snake bite, the crows, and the hidden truth staring back at you. The same sequence of cards from the very first Haro reading where you interpreted them as Norm violently taking the life of a loved one. And we cut to black.
What?
Whoa.
We see a ratfolk warren built in the woods, the makeshift hovels and tents litter a clearing where the trees overhang, providing a shady canopy of the sun from above. But streaks of light still cut through and they land on the ground, creating a spotlight, in which we see three young rat folk enter. A very obviously young Norm, whose splotchy brown and white fur seems it cannot decide which color it wants to be, and whose smile is in a constant effort to grow as wide as possible, stands next to a brown-furred Marge, who innocently holds a paw in her own. That paw belonging to a third rat folk, another young lady whose brown fur is splotched with white, with her left ear being a stark white. Looking around, we can see other members of the warren kind of whispering to themselves and staring at the three youngsters.
We'll be back in a few hours, Sarah,
says Marge as she embraces the young lady whose paw she was holding.
I know you will. Just be careful. There have been rumors of ruffians around, and I wouldn't want anything to happen to you guys. I don't want you to get mugged.
Oh, we'll be fine. If we come across anyone, we can just tell them that we're friendly, and we can share any of the food that we found.
A silent but caring eye roll can be felt from the other two. Norm's optimism was one of his best qualities. The young Marge and Norm set off to scavenge for food. Several hours pass, and as Marge and Norm return to the warren with a few bundles of fruits and veggies, they see the shattered remains of their houses and the still remains of their friends and families. A few hours earlier, not long after Marge and Norm left the warren, a silence grew over the village. The birds didn't sing, the wind didn't blow, and there were a few moments of absolute silence. Then all hell breaks loose. A human, half-orc, an elf, and a dwarf pop out from the bushes and surround the camp. Arrows and spells start flying instantly as the rat folk rush to defend their home, meeting the invaders in hand-to-hand combat. A short and fierce battle ensues that appears to be evenly matched. In an effort to turn the tide of the battle, Sarah rushes into one of the tents where she knows Norm keeps his medicines. Unbeknownst to her, however, Norm has recently taken up the craft and refinement of poisons. She grabs the satchel of colorful vials and scurries around, distributing them to the rest of the warren. Rat folk start getting sick left and right, and several of the fronts collapse. The group of adventurers overtake the warren, and those who do not fall in battle flee, never to be seen again. The future couple of Marge and Norm return to a home in ruin, and Marge is able to comfort Sarah in her final moments.
Oh, shit. That's awesome, but you're also the worst.
Oh. What just happened?
We'll see you next time on the Dimension Door Podcast.
I mean, I knew I, oh my goodness!
That part of the past.
We don't blame you guys if you stop listening. It's fine.
Too soon? Did I throw you guys a curve too soon?
Oh, my goodness. What just happened?
Oh, my God.
Would have been fine if it weren't for those dirty adventurers.
Yeah. I've had this coming for a long time.
That's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Long, long time.
We used to be a TTRPG, but now we're more of like a Rat Folk Snuff Film podcast. It's
wow.
Oh, boy. That crazy game master threw quite the curveball. I wonder what's going to happen next. As always, thank you for listening to the Dimension Door podcast. Our music is done by Zach Kreitler, except for our bumper tracks, which are by MDK Music. We have ended our Patreon launch drive and are happy to welcome Mary Jensen, Nick D, Doug Churchman, Don Booley, and Rain Zero. We are also doing all sorts of things behind the scenes. Our very own Elizabeth has been busy helping out with Pod Rev Day. Here, take a listen.
I'll bet you really loved that podcast you were just listening to, didn't you?
It was probably so well produced.
Don't you want to stop everything you're doing right now and tell somebody?
There's a way that you can do that. It's
hashtag PodRevDay.
This is Elizabeth with the Dimension Door podcast.
I'm Mina, and
I host a Barbie film recap podcast called Put a Shrimp on It.
Hi, my name is Effie Parks, and I'm from Once Upon a Gene.
This is Steph, instigator of Pod Rev Day and the Geopaths Podcast Network.
And we are here to gently nudge you into joining us for the monthly Podcasters Appreciation Day called Podcast Review Day.
Hashtag Pod Rev Day.
Which is on the 8th of every month.
It's easier to participate in Pod Rev Day than it is to tie your shoes. Step 1, write a loving podcast review. You can do this on Podchaser, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, Hubble, anywhere that lets you write something nice about a podcast.
Step 2, post the review link and tag the podcasters.
Hashtag PodRevDay.
On all the socials.
Step 3, do the
hashtag PodRevDay
dance, knowing you've made someone's day.
And come back throughout the day to read the other reviews. Retweet them and comment as you get more and more excited about what's happening.
Reviews are a completely free way to show support for the podcasts that you love.
PodRevDay, because podcasters deserve to hear it.